fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Heath, and Chris.
Now, that was the NFL Sunday that football fans deserve. That was awesome. What a day of football, and welcome to Fantasy Football Today, Adam, Heath, and Chris. Guys, what was your favorite game from yesterday? And I want to hear from Chris Towers first. First and foremost, Chris Towers.
The 4 o'clock games were all super fun. So I... That Cowboys-Steelers game had to have been the most fun game of the day, though.
Yeah. All right, he took the easy one, Heath.
Well, I mean, what else would you expect? I will say that the most fun... You know, it was probably Tennessee-Green Bay, and it wasn't even close.
Wow.
But it was I think it was just fun watching Mariota have that much success.
That was cool.
Exotic Smash Mouth football,
A1. Only 2 games yesterday were decided by more than 10 points.
And I chose one of them as my favorite game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the ending of the Denver-New Orleans game was pretty hard to beat.
Awful. No, I hate that. That's
what?
Awful.
That was so cool.
The Saints just lost a game because the officials screwed up.
You know what it makes me think, though?
Completely, 100%.
Why did they screw
nothing
up?
Else.
That should have been a penalty?
He totally stepped out of bounds on the return.
What I'm thinking is, shouldn't every player in the NFL wear all-white shoes?
Yes.
Just for that reason?
Yeah, that was
because that's the only reason they couldn't tell that he was out of bounds.
That was my least favorite part of.
Are you sure he was out of bounds? Because I didn't see it that way.
No question.
Chris,
it looked like he was out of bounds.
Okay.
But you couldn't tell. It wasn't definitive because there was no clear delineation between his foot and the out of bounds mark.
Because it was the same color as the line.
Exactly.
Well, I'll give a nod to the Sunday night game. It was truly excellent. Came down to the final play.
Sunday night.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was better than the song. Let's talk about the Twitter poll that Jamie posted yesterday. And yesterday was a good day for running backs, and the studs delivered. The number one running back in fantasy football drafts next year will be David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, or other. And Ezekiel Elliott gets 2/3 of the vote. David Johnson, 24%. Le'Veon Bell, 8%. And other. Maybe DeMarco Murray, maybe Melvin Gordon got 1%. What would you guys vote for there? The number one running back in fantasy football drafts next year will be who?
I think I will probably say Johnson.
I think it has to be Elliott.
Well, but you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's going to be at, what... 390 touches at the end of the year.
Okay.
And so everybody's going to say the curse of 380 means that he can't be great again next year.
Okay.
Because he had too many touches. Like, right?
David Johnson's on the same pace. He's at 215 through 9 games.
Okay, he's at 216. So it'll have to be Le'Veon Bell then.
I would give the edge to... I think David Johnson's the better overall back. But... this Cardinals offense isn't going to be better next year, right?
Oh, probably not. Yeah.
And whereas Ezekiel Elliott's playing with a 23-year-old quarterback who's on the come up with the best offensive line in football.
Wait, where's the Le'Veon
love? All of whom are locked up.
Where's the Le'Veon love here?
I just said it was going to be Le'Veon.
He hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
You said that sarcastically, though.
He just scored a touchdown.
He scored 2
Whoa.
Yesterday.
Come on, Chris. Catch up.
Here, I thought he had lost the ability to score touchdowns.
Well, I think it's a different answer in standard and PPR. I think it could be. I don't think it's Ezekiel Elliott in PPR. That's what I would say. Now, he did take that screen pass to the house yesterday, but Le'Veon Bell is catching like 6 passes regularly. He's so involved. It's crazy. And I don't think that's fluky. So I think I'd probably stick with Le'Veon in PPR, but I don't know. It's close. Those 3 are going to duke it out. And DeMarco Murray's
7.5 catches per game.
How many?
7.5.
I believe he leads the NFL in receptions since he came back, doesn't he?
Wow. That sounds about right.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a great debate. And I think a different question is a running back going to be the number one overall pick next year?
You know, he will be in some leagues, but.
I mean, who would it be in among wide receivers? Julio?
Julio,
see, that'll probably be determined by the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. it hasn't been as great a year for wide receivers as we expected, I think, which could also tilt things back towards running backs because we're very reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting second half.
And why no love for Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, he's not as good as them. He's just not.
Okay.
Hater.
Am I wrong?
Jeez.
What about DeMarco Murray? What about DeMarco Murray?
Melvin Gordon, Adam?
Now, DeMarco Murray is a different case. I don't know why, because I tweeted yesterday that those three, Johnson, Zeke, and Bell were all, because they were all playing at the same time, you know, in the afternoon
right.
games. And I would say they were all battling for the title of best running back, whatever. And some people said, what about DeMarco Murray? And it's valid. I mean, he's been amazing two of the last 3 years, including this year. I don't know. He doesn't look quite as talented as those guys. Is that fair to say? Amateur scout over here?
I mean, he's a little older. I guess you could say that.
A little bit. That's just a little downgrade. That's all.
He's pretty freaking good, though.
But I think going into next year, now we'll see what happens in the second half, because there are always injuries. I mean, Le'Veon got injured late in the year a couple years ago. So there's always injuries to running backs. But going into this year, there were question marks about, I think, every running back, right? Like David Johnson only had 1 year under his belt. Le'Veon Bell's coming back from off-season surgery. Adrian Peterson's old. Ezekiel Elliott's a rookie. Lamar Miller going to a new team. There are question marks. We right now have, with DeMarco Murray, four just no doubt about it. With Melvin Gordon, probably five. And then, you know, Jay Ajayi seems pretty legit too, but it's only
there
been four
There might be
games.
Four running backs who get 2,000 all-purpose yards this year.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Johnson, Elliott, Murray, and Gordon are all on pace for at least 1,900.
Wow.
Melvin Gordon's on pace for 1,894, which is the lowest of that four.
Okay, guys, let's get into Sunday's games. And you can email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. You can tweet us at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings SR, at Chris C. Towers CBS, right?
Chris C. Towers.
No,
Chrissy?
Just C. Towers CBS. I always forget.
Thank you, Adam.
Sorry. At Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Oops, I sat him again. Chris wanted me to have a Britney Spears segment, so here it is. Sure. Oops, I sat him again. Here were some players that were started in 32% of leagues or fewer. Kirk Cousins, Willie Snead, Martellus Bennett, and Ryan Matthews.
32% of people started Ryan Matthews?
Isn't that high?
You guys are so much smarter than we are. So much smarter.
Has any coach ever hated fantasy football players more than Doug Peterson?
Wait, did you read the story I sent you this morning?
Yeah, yeah, he had a toothache.
Okay, we have some explanation on Ryan Matthews now. It's fairly interesting. Because actually, yeah. Doug Peterson made a joke that he was just trying to screw with all the reporters with the way he's been handling his running backs. But apparently, 2 weeks ago against Dallas, I think it was 2 weeks ago, or now three, Ryan Matthews had a toothache and he could barely put his helmet on. So that is why he barely played against the Cowboys. They wanted to get him more involved against the Giants the following week in week 9, but they fell behind early and it was a Sproles game. So here he is with 19 carries. Actually played fewer snaps, only played about a third of the snaps, fewer snaps than Sproles.
Yeah.
19 carries, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Falcons and 2 catches for 30 yards. And the way I interpreted that article, guys, in Philly.com is that they really do, at least right now, want Ryan Matthews to be their primary ball carrier. What did you think?
I think if you get a trade offer for Ryan Matthews this week, you trade him immediately.
Absolutely.
What are the chances that he gets 21 touches on 26 snaps again?
And really, I mean, the schedule is not great moving forward anyway, for at least the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so
kind of brutal.
I mean, I wrote about Ryan Matthews today. I'm going to really pretty much look at him as a number three running back from this point forward, or at least until the situation changes again. But at any given point, he could fumble. Doug Peterson's mood could change, or, I mean, there.
Look, toothaches are no joke.
Yeah.
What?
Another toothache.
Toothaches are no joke.
But I don't know. Like, I wonder, because he's a guy that's battled injuries throughout his career. And it's been a variety of ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if maybe he doesn't subscribe to some of the pain management theories that other players do, because they have things that players use that a toothache would not be an issue to play
he
with.
He got a root canal, though, after this. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty legit.
I don't care. They've
you ever
got
had a root canal, Heath? It sucks.
And they don't have the drugs in the NFL that you could play on.
I mean, it's real bad, man.
Okay.
All right, look. I mean, the action that we saw yesterday against a good run defense, 19 carries was impressive. But at right. Seattle in week 11, Green Bay at home in week 12, like you said, Heath, not the easy schedule. And then at Cincinnati, which is kind of iffy. Robert Kelly or Ryan Matthews rest of season? They both have schedule concerns, right?
Yeah, I'll still say Matthews.
Kelly looked pretty good.
Yeah, if you think that Matthews is a number three running back and you're taking him over Kelly,
I think they're both number three running backs.
I think I don't know that about Rob Kelly's role.
If Kelly's going to get 15 to 20 carries a game, that doesn't make him by default a number two running back.
I mean, Matt Jones was a healthy scratch yesterday.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryan Matthews was still second on his team in snaps. The chances of Ryan Matthews ever having a touch on 80% of his snaps, 80% of the time he was on the field, he touched the ball. That's a crazy rate. There's no way that's sustainable. You're giving yourself away to the defense if you do that too. So it's just, I think this was a big fluke.
All right.
And I'm not buying it.
How about Cousins, Snead? Yeah, I don't care about the Snead. I don't care about Snead. I really think Snead was over-owned at 85% owned. He caught two short yardage touchdowns. He has two games of more than 60 yards all year. I don't really see the appeal. I don't think he's that much better in PPR. It's not like he's hauling in a bunch of catches.
Yeah.
So this was kind of annoying.
He's worth owning.
Yeah, I don't think he's over-owned at all.
Like, you know, Steve Smith is owned in 75% of leagues.
I would much rather have Steve
85%
Smith.
85% isn't too much for Willie Snead.
I would rather have Steve Smith.
I can't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't.
When are you going to know when Willie Snead is going to have a good game? I need to remind you that until yesterday, I don't think he had a good game since week two.
He had 9 for 87 against the Chiefs. That's a good game.
That is a good game in PPR. In standard, he has not. That was his best game since week two.
Right, but
yesterday.
9 for 87 startable in standard.
It'll be about 24th. It's not bad, but that's it. I mean,
Steve Smith's had two better games all year.
Steve Smith's been hurt, and well, I think Steve Smith is better.
He's like 115
years
old.
He's 37 years old and coming off a ruptured Achilles.
He defies father time.
Except when he got hurt.
Well, if he gets hurt, that's one thing, but they're both replaceable. They're not like must-start guys.
They're not must-start guys, but there's a difference between should be owned and must-start. It's a pretty big difference.
Yes. All right, fine. I guess I'm going to look to sell Willie Snead then. Kirk Cousins and Martellus Bennett. Is Kirk Cousins now a must-start as he is the best quarterback against Minnesota this year with 22 fantasy points?
I think he's probably, like, I wrote about Marcus Mariota today and whether he was must-start rest of season. And I think we've shrunk the rest of season down to the point to where we can just look at it and not think theoretically as somebody must-start, but just look at their schedule and say, are they must-start? I'm starting him against the Packers.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
At the Cowboys, I think he's going to have to throw to win that game. I'll start him. At Arizona is where I start questioning it. But
actually,
then at
Philadelphia could be tough, too.
At Philly could be tough.
Carolina's not a tough matchup.
No, but I would have to say no. Kirk Cousins is not must start. Because there's two of his next four games I'm probably not going to start him.
But you could probably start him for the next four of the final six games
yes.
through week 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was impressive. He deserves a lot of credit for yesterday. And the week before against Cincinnati was probably the best I'd ever seen. It was actually 2 weeks ago, but it was the game before.
You guys didn't see that video?
Ooh-wee! That one? Yeah, yeah. That's in the notes. I put that in the notes.
He's having an impressive season. Been much better than I thought he was going to be. What, pretty close to a top 10 quarterback almost this year?
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right there with Jameis and Derek Carr. Just less touchdowns.
And finally, Martellus Bennett. You know, was he just playing hurt? Is that why he had 7 fantasy points combined in his previous 3 games? Or is this just going to be a head scratcher week after week with the Pats?
I think he's a tight end. I think there are like 5 tight ends who aren't tight ends, and the rest of them are just tight ends. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I get it. All right, let's go to the big news. Ezekiel Elliott still being investigated. I don't think this is actionable, but if you could trade him for David Johnson, would you do that?
I hate like one-for-one trades between two players at the same position who are in the same tier.
But
you're just leaving yourself entirely up to chance.
No, but the point is, there still might be a chance that Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended for the domestic violence policy. Just a chance. That's my point.
Yeah, it's so hard to know what to say to that.
Okay. Dak Prescott is going to start in Week 11. Jared Goff could debut this week. Good or bad for Kenny Britt if he does?
It's hard. I don't think it's good.
No, I think it has to be a slight negative just because we've seen Kenny Britt be consistently pretty good with Case Keenum, and this would change things, change the equation.
So it's not a bad injury week at all. It's been a good week in terms of that. A lot of offensive line stuff. But Jordan Howard looks like the most serious injury, and it doesn't even seem to be all that serious, although I'm not sure. He has downplayed it. It might have been an Achilles or an ankle injury. So we'll see. Howard has the Giants on the road next week, and he did fumble, but he was having a pretty good game. Lamar Miller got hurt. He was able to finish the game. They have a Monday nighter at Oakland. So the offensive line stuff, Green Bay got pretty beat up. David Bakhtiari, their left tackle. TJ Lang, their guard. They both left the game, a knee injury for Bakhtiari, a foot or an ankle injury for TJ Lang. So they have a big game coming up at Washington on Sunday night, and we will obviously talk about the Packers and everybody that plays there. Left tackle Brandon Albert for the Dolphins. He dislocated his wrist, but he played through it. They got a game at the Rams. They are staying out in California for that game at the Rams this week because they just played the Chargers. Larry Fitzgerald is going to have an MRI on a sore knee. He's been playing through it. Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic's thinking it might be a sprained MCL. At Minnesota next week, so we will talk about that game later in the week. Not sure who you're going to want to start in that Cardinals receiving corps, but Michael Floyd. We're going to talk about Michael Floyd today. Yeah. How about this quote? Ryan Tannehill on Devontae Parker per the Palm Beach Post. Quote, by far, this was his best week of practice. He ran hard in practice. He got open in practice. That built my confidence in him. So that's Devontae Parker, who had a big game. He had 5 catches for 103 yards on 8 targets, and he's been dealing
with... Can you tell us that before the game, Ryan?
What'd you say?
Can you tell us that before the game, Ryan?
I know. But, you know, Parker's been dealing with these hamstring injuries all year long, and they're not going away. But you guys write waiver wire stuff on Sunday and Monday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning. Is Parker on your radar?
Certainly. He's, I think, 67% owned. That should probably be in the Willie Snead territory. Just because of the flashes that we've seen. It's only 2 good games this season, but remember, he had 450 yards in the final 6 games last season. So he's someone that could absolutely have a big second half of the season.
Right, and maybe it was the injuries that were really holding him back. Sammy Coates, though. Yeah, I feel bad about this. I definitely was pumping him up. Pick up Sammy Coates, pick up Sammy Coates. I did, and he played 2 snaps. He has lost the favor of the coaching staff. Kobe Hamilton played a bunch of snaps. So did Eli Rogers. I'm sure Rogers will be popular on the waiver wire.
Yeah, he scored again.
And he should be. He's getting targets. They don't really have any healthy wide receivers. He's definitely the second best wide receiver on the team right now.
And Kirk Cousins, as Chris already told you, said, ooh-wee, after the game. That is his new, you like that? And yeah. Cam Newton dabbed.
Yep.
How about
both
that?
Those things.
Probably dabbed a little bit too early. You look at the final score. A little bit too early there. Email of the day. Here's a fun one. Email from Sean from a city on an island in New York.
I was trying. Don't worry about it.
Rikers.
Yeah. Nah, he told us what it is. It's not that. You're wrong.
It's not Rikers?
No, it's not Rikers.
Okay.
Dear Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, and Snoop, I am watching Straight Outta Compton as I write this email. Next week, I'm playing my live-in girlfriend in a league in which my brother is the commish, meaning the pressure is always on. It's her first year in the league, and her record is terrible thanks to my preseason advice, which ended up with half her team on IR, and it's looking good for me next week in my matchup against my live-in girlfriend. I'll probably need a win to stay in playoff contention, but beating me would be like winning the championship to her. So without getting into the start-sit individual players, what's more important? Hopefully being the 6th seed in the playoffs or making the best woman I've ever met happy when I am indirectly responsible for her 2-7 record.
Crush her.
Flags fly forever, Texas.
Crush her.
That's what I was going to say.
Step on the throat.
She'll respect that. She'll respect that, Sean. And if she doesn't, you can blame us. That's awesome.
I had a I had a high school relationship end once when I was playing basketball with my girlfriend and swatted her shot into the parking lot.
You're kidding me.
And then wagged my finger at her.
Did she dunk on her like Travis Kelce?
She was better than I was.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Like as a person awesome. Or at basketball?
Both.
Okay.
Heath has been a troll since before the term even existed. Hi, troll's old girlfriend. How about that? All right. That was a great email. Here's Team Name Tuesday on a Monday, and I put it in just for you guys, okay? Here's the team name. Trust the Procise.
I like it.
I thought of one Thursday night that I think is the best one ever for this show.
Okay.
Yippee-ki-yay Justin Tucker.
No, we've had that before. We've had that before.
I just thought of it.
Yeah, well, you're not
original. That was very original, Heath.
Now, Trust the Procise is a little bit faulty because if you watch the game, it is apparently pronounced Procise. So, like, precisely. But CJ Procise, man. How about this quote from Pete Carroll? This is from Doug Baldwin. I thought he was bleeping amazing. And then Carroll said, isn't he something? He's really good. Procise, 17 carries, 66 yards, and he led the team in receiving with 87 yards on seven catches.
Had a nice long, like a deep pass, too.
Converted wide receiver, don't forget.
I'm not happy about Seattle right now.
I think
this running back situation is going to be a disaster for fantasy down the stretch. Thomas Rawls is coming back. Kristen Michael will presumably be healthy at some point. They all do very different things.
Precise is
a great pass catcher.
Right?
Kristen Michael has the big playability. Thomas Rawls can move the chains. He's a tough runner.
I'm done with Kristen Michael.
Yeah,
Michael. No. That's
the Seahawks
fine.
Are done with him.
I'm not saying he's hurt.
They have been, and this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and I wrote about this today as well. I believe for like the last month now, they've been wishing Thomas Rawls was back.
Sure.
And tired of Kristen Michael and tired of watching him run into the line and fall down. And I believe that when Rawls comes back, he's the feature back. Procise is the third down back and they're very complimentary of each other. And Kristen Michael's done.
All right.
I'm glad
they
say nice things about each other.
It could be this week. It could be this week for Rawls. And
I hope
as someone who I don't really own a lot of Rawls, I think I have one or two leagues. But I thought there was a really good chance for him to come back and have a really strong finish. Procise doing what he did yesterday, and I hope you're right, Heath. I hope he is just the third.
He wasn't that great in the running game. Like he was really good catching the ball, and he did okay. I mean he did okay running. Hitting the hole hard and not running into the back of his own lineman, but I think that them being so happy with him running the ball was just a product of how unhappy they were with Kristen Michael. And Rawls wasn't ever going to be a pass catching back anyway, I didn't think.
No.
What did he catch, like 10 last year? 6.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No, I'm sorry, 9.
I just hope that they have those defined roles and one guy gets at least 13 carries a game or something and hopefully some touchdowns.
I think as long as Russell Wilson's really back, they're going to be playing with leads. Rawls will be really good down the stretch.
Guys, I want to thank all of our listeners for something. I want to thank them all, the ones who tweet me, really just the ones who tweet me, about SeatGeek. I know you really enjoyed the $20 rebate with our promo code FFT. I get a lot of great feedback. Promo code is FFT for SeatGeek. And I want to thank SeatGeek for helping me go to the Giants game tonight. Yeah, I'm going to the game. I look for tickets on my phone with the SeatGeek app. They search multiple ticket sites for me. They get me the best deals, and they find me the best values. When you use SeatGeek, you never miss a deal because SeatGeek goes to work for you and price compares. They make the prices and the process so easy to see, so easy to use. So I got my Giants ticket. I'm going to the game. I'm very excited, and I'm very excited. That's really a great feeling. Getting pumped for a game, buying a ticket, and saving $20 is also a great feeling. You can do that with the SeatGeek app. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. If you're at the game tonight, let me know. Send me a tweet, at Adam Azer, AIZER. We'd love to meet up with some of the listeners. That would be cool. I'm going by myself. Your thoughts on that, guys?
It's fine. I'm going to a concert by myself tomorrow. I've decided to get over that fear of doing things by yourself. If you want to do something and none of your friends want to go with you, you just do it.
Yeah.
Live your life.
I'll just tell you guys.
Have fun.
10, maybe 15 years from now, you've got two or three kids, doing things by yourself is going to become one of the most awesome things you ever get to do. Just for like an hour, not like all the time. It's not good. Like I understand it's going to a game by yourself doesn't sound that cool now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the difference is like it's not that I wanted to go by myself. It's that I could not find one person to go with me.
Well, that's exactly what it is with this concert for me tomorrow. None of my friends like this band, and I'm just like, screw it.
You know,
one of my favorite bands. I'm going to go see them.
I didn't even know Chris was going to a concert. I wasn't even invited.
Drive-By Truckers. If you guys want to go.
I like Drive-By Truckers.
Let's go see Truckers tomorrow.
You didn't invite me until you didn't.
It's only $20.
You just said none of my friends want to go.
Sure.
But you never asked me.
Keith is here now.
I'm clearly not one of your friends.
That's pretty bad right there.
Yeah, I would like to go see Drive-By Truckers. That sounds good.
I thought you guys were tight. That's crazy. All right, let's do some true or false, which is definitely not buy or sell. This one, a little hat tip to Trevor Davis on Twitter. True or false, Washington kicker Dustin Hopkins will outscore DeAndre Hopkins rest of season.
Definitely true.
No.
Kickers score too many fantasy points.
No.
I wonder who scored more at this point. Probably Hopkins.
Like, we don't value kickers because they're not that predictable and they suck as a position in fantasy football, but kickers score plenty of points.
I got to look this up in standard scoring. Hopkins has scored 66 points. DeAndre Hopkins. Let's see how many Dustin Hopkins has scored. Oh my God, he scored 90 points?
Yeah, it's not going to be close. Down
he's killing him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. True.
Maybe,
look.
Maybe Dustin Hopkins should have been a first-round pick.
DeAndre Hopkins, guys, he had half of Brock Osweiler's passing yards yesterday.
True.
And he had 48 yards.
True. They won that game.
He threw for 98 yards.
Flash forever.
You can't do that.
Brock Osweiler is...
And they still won.
Hilariously inept.
He's better than Bortles right now, though. My goodness.
No, he's not. Not at all.
Okay. I'd rather have Bortles. Bortles can throw the ball.
The AP recap of the game was so funny. I want you guys to talk about Hopkins. I'm going to read you. Because the AP recap doesn't usually say things like this. But that fumble that Bortles had was so awesome that they...
Or the interception where he threw it off his own player.
It was actually ruled a fumble at the end.
Because it went backwards.
I know what he was trying to do.
Talk about Hopkins.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, Brock Osweiler's a disaster. There's not really anything that you can say about that. Brock Osweiler had 3.7 yards. It's not like the Texans didn't throw the ball yesterday. They had 27 pass attempts. He can't throw the ball down the field at all.
I got a tweet.
He's the worst deep passer in the NFL.
During the game yesterday, they may have tagged you guys too, and I don't remember who it was from, and I'm not going to go back that far in my mentions, so too bad. But they said, you know, if we just changed his name, wouldn't we be saying you could drop DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, yeah, that was a good tweet.
And
yeah,
it's, well.
No, no. I wouldn't do it. Too many targets.
No, because you're not changing his talent.
Yeah.
He's still getting the targets. He still has the talent. I don't really feel good about starting him on a weekly basis, but if you start two receivers in a flex, you're probably starting him every week.
All right, here's what the Associated Press had to say. Fluky fumble. The Jaguars added to their lowlight reel in the second quarter when Bortles did the most Bortles thing ever. Under heavy pressure and trying to ground the ball near tightly covered running back TJ Yeldon, Bortles hit Yeldon in the foot. The ball bounced up and landed in linebacker Whitney Merciless's hands for what initially was ruled an interception. It was later changed to a lateral and a fumble. I've never seen that happen, Bortles said. From the time you start playing quarterback, they tell you if the screen is covered, throw it at his feet. I was trying to make the smart play and live to play another down, and that happens. Unfortunate.
Maybe don't throw it 110 miles an hour at a guy's feet that are 3 feet away.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad play. All right, true or false, Ty Montgomery is done being a reliable fantasy contributor.
Did you just go through my believe it or not column and put everything I'm writing about as a subject?
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good because I've already thought about these things. Yes, I will hold him for one more week. If the distribution looks like it did this week, I will cut him.
Yeah, James Starks played 33 more snaps than him. Montgomery played 20 of his 22 snaps out of the backfield, which is a better sign because it's clear they don't think he's actually a wide receiver.
Right.
But yeah, if he's a backup running back, then I don't think there's much value.
He's got nowhere to go as a wide receiver. And I thought he'd still have value as like a third down back, maybe as a Gio Bernard type. But Starks had more catches.
Yeah.
True or false, LeGarrette Blount is an RB1 going forward.
He certainly could finish as a top 12 running back moving forward. I would not view him as an RB1.
This is something that...
But you're probably starting him almost every week.
I want to do maybe some research on in the offseason, but I'm going to need some help from somebody that's smarter than me, which is a big pool.
Yeah, we've got lots of options.
A lot of people that are smarter than me. But I want to know if teams are that in the past have thrown the ball short of the goal line inside the five, if that is something that is predictive going forward. Because we've seen it with the Chargers this year. Melvin Gordon's going to set a record for most carries inside the five, if I can ever find out what the record was for most carries inside the five. Because the Chargers don't throw the ball into the actual end zone very often.
I've got a good comparison for you, and it's the Saints. And what we saw from the Saints, I believe the last two, not including this year, the last two, if not three seasons. And that was when they got inside the five. I think it was after the Graham. No, because it was coincide. It was both. They started running the ball more. And Mark Ingram became a really good touchdown source, right? And Drew Brees, his touchdown passes went down to about the 32-ish range. You know, he wasn't going to throw 40 touchdowns or anything. It's completely reversed this year. The one-yard touchdown run, I've been saying this all year, the one-yard touchdown run from Mark Ingram has mostly gone away. And now they're back to throwing the ball. And now Drew Brees' touchdowns are way up. So it seemed predictive, and that's why I think we were valuing Drew Brees as kind of like fifth or sixth best quarterback, no longer first or second. The touchdowns are back. He's still doing exactly what he'd been doing. I haven't looked at all the stats, but he's really not much different of a quarterback, just throwing more touchdowns this year, and they're not running for as many touchdowns as they had been, I think, in the previous two seasons, 2014 and 15. That's my take.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think it's random.
I know certain offenses, if it's a downfield passing offense, they are more likely to score from outside the 20. That makes sense. But it just seems like there's certain teams this year, the Chargers especially, that move the ball in 3 to 4 yard chunks. And so they've had so many plays inside the 5 yard line.
Well,
it's interesting. The Chargers have had the second most plays from inside the 5 yard line.
Okay.
Rushing plays, at least.
Yeah.
Denver has had the most,
yeah.
And then Buffalo and San Diego have both had 19 rushing plays inside their opponent's 5 yard line.
Well, look, the problem is yesterday was ridiculous. It made me crazy because I don't own Blount. I own Brady. Gronkowski draws two penalties in the end zone. They turn into 1 yard touchdown runs. And then he had a longer touchdown run later in the game. He's killing you with yards, but scoring so many touchdowns, and if Blount is going to be in the best offense in the NFL, and he's going to get 16 carries on average a game or something like that, you know, does that change with Deion Lewis? Does he get fewer carries? He's still obviously going to be the goal line guy. I think you have to kind of just take a leap of faith, because if he doesn't score, you're not going to get a good game from him.
I started him, I think, in three leagues. I benched him in one league for Doug Martin, which didn't work out so well. But I don't believe he's going to finish in the top 12 running backs the rest of the year, but I think he's going to be a must start.
Okay. True or false, it's time to buy into Rishard Matthews, 47% owned, 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games.
False.
Not enough yards?
Yeah, it just, you know, I'm not going to buy into a ton of touchdowns if the underlying numbers don't support it. I think he's worth owning. He's probably under-owned at 47%. But, yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah, like last week he had 10 targets, and if he was getting even 7 targets a game, then I could totally buy into it. But his target total over the last 6, when he's got a touchdown in 5 of those 6, he's got 4 targets, 3 targets, 7, 4, 10, 5. So I have a really hard time believing that.
He does. Rishard Matthews does play more snaps than the other wide receivers, though. A lot more than Kendall Wright. And if we're buying into Mariota, then
he's just doing such a good job of spreading the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who he's ever going to throw the ball to, and that's a good thing for moving the ball. That's a good thing for the offense, but it's a bad thing for fantasy production.
Okay. Finally, true or false, Michael Floyd is back.
Michael Floyd is going to finish the season strong just in time for everybody to believe he's a breakout candidate next season for the fifth year in a row.
I totally believe Michael Floyd is back as a top three wide receiver for the Cardinals. Probably, I would have to say, number two right now.
Well, J.J. Nelson was not good yesterday.
Awful. He was terrible.
And I don't think John Brown's healthy.
No.
So snaps... Floyd's back.
What?
So Floyd's back is what you're saying.
Sure, he's back in the conversation as someone that you can consider starting in fantasy.
He pulled within 33 points of Kelvin Benjamin in the season-long contest.
I mean, we know Michael Floyd's a strong closer. I don't know why we gave up on it.
Yeah.
Well, I've always believed in the talent, but they're at Minnesota next week. That kind of stinks. And then after that, it gets a lot better. It's till week 16 when they are at Seattle. All right, let's look at the leaderboard from Fantasy Week 10. Top three quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota, who's at Indianapolis and then at Chicago and then has a bye. Ben Roethlisberger. Can't start Ben Roethlisberger on the road ever, right? Well, he's at Cleveland in week 11. So
I'll start him.
And
I'll, start
Indianapolis.
I'll start him the next three games at least.
Yeah, at Cleveland, at Indianapolis, home against the Giants. And Russell Wilson. So we're not doing winners and losers per se today. You guys gave me one of each, and I Russell Wilson was a winner, I think, for Chris, right?
Yes. I've been skeptical of Russell Wilson having the big second half like he did last season because, well, I don't think there's any reason to believe that he's somehow a second half player. I think he just regressed to the mean last year, and I didn't think he would this year as long as he wasn't healthy. If he's healthy, and he looks pretty healthy, he's not running, but he's extending plays in the pocket. He's moving a little better. There's at least the threat of that. You know, he's probably going to be pretty good moving forward.
He played so well last night. That was awesome.
He's exceptionally good when he's healthy.
I think he was just really uncomfortable in the knee brace.
Maybe. Yeah.
It was clunky. He couldn't move.
I think he was hurt.
He was hurt, too.
He sprained his MCL.
Get into a better knee brace.
Too, right? He had three injuries.
I know he had the ankle and the sprained knee in the same leg. I don't know about
He had a lat injury, too.
He had a lat as well, yes.
Yeah. So it's good to see from Russell Wilson. And Doug Baldwin had more than seven targets, or more than six targets, and he had three touchdowns. He's one of the leading wide receivers. We'll get to that. Let's go to the running backs first. Actually, I don't know how much we have to say here. Ezekiel Elliott, number one, with 38 fantasy points in standard. DeMarco Murray, number two. Ryan Matthews tied for number two with 27. We covered that sufficiently. So Baldwin, number one wide receiver this week, 23 fantasy points. Not a lot of yards, though. Six catches, 59 yards. You know, Doug Baldwin has caught 50 of his 65 targets. Exceptional rate. But
that's something that carried over from last
year. Same thing as last year. He only had like 109 targets last year.
He, Curse, and Lockett were three of like the 10 most efficient receivers, which tells you it's probably just Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Russell Wilson is exceptional.
But what do you think about Baldwin? I mean, honestly, it's great to have three touchdowns, and I texted Heath before the Sunday night game, should we start James White or Doug Baldwin? And Heath said Doug Baldwin, so good job, Heath.
You weren't really happy about it either, were you?
No, I was fine with it.
Okay.
I was fine with it.
You just said okay. I didn't get like a, yeah, I agree with you.
Looking at the schedule.
He did get shadowed by Malcolm Butler. They had a really good battle there, and three touchdowns, so good
game
for him.
He got a little lucky. But if it was 659 and one touchdown, that's still a pretty good game.
He had been a little unlucky, too, so sure. It was just kind of things evening out. They don't always work that way, but it did this time.
But looking at his schedule, Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, Carolina at Green Bay, I'm probably starting him in all four of those games.
Oh, yeah, he's must start.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel great about it. The guy just needs seven targets. Every time he gets seven or more than six, I don't think he's had exactly seven. Almost every time he gets seven targets, Doug Baldwin has a big game. But I don't know how they're going to spread it around. Also, I think we could probably talk a little bit more about this on Wednesday. Will they get back to running the ball a little bit more once Rawls comes back? I don't really think so. I think they're going to be more of a passing team because I don't think they have the offensive line to be a smash-mouth team anymore.
They said coming into the year that what they did in the second half with more throwing and faster pace is what they wanted to do this year. That got off track a little bit with Wilson's injuries, but I expect them to throw over about the same rate they did in the second half last year.
There was a point last night where they had the ball on like the half-yard line, and they were in a jumbo bunch formation, and they got a false start, and they moved it back 5 yards and went into the spread. And all I could think was, this is a better situation for this team. Like, being in the spread out 5 yards away, I think they ended up going for a field goal, but I felt more comfortable in them getting that 5 yards out than I did a yard out.
I'm just going to say there's a little glimmer of hope for Tyler Lockett truthers.
Yeah, he makes big plays. Not enough of them. And other wide receivers. Antonio Brown was number two with 18 fantasy points. And then tied for third. Now, Heath and I on the air on Saturday night, I said I thought Tyrell Williams would be better than Allen Robinson this week. Heath took Allen Robinson. They tied 18 fantasy points in standard. So Williams, Robinson, and Jordy Nelson, they tied with 18 fantasy points at number three. How would you rank Tyrell Williams, Jordy Nelson, and Allen Robinson?
Azer, you got a little lucky there.
Why?
It was deep into that game before Tyrell Williams.
Same with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson caught his garbage time.
He needed that big play. He needed the Dolphins defense to fall apart.
So I'm assuming Robinson won in PPR, right? He had more than five catches.
He beat. I thought you were number one.
Yeah, I think so. I would probably rank this trio Nelson, Robinson, Williams.
Yeah, I thought Nelson looked as good as he has all year long in this game, actually getting a little bit of separation from corners. And some of that might just be that Tennessee's not very good.
Yeah.
He had the good matchup for most of the game. But yeah, I agree with Chris.
Okay, Tyrell Williams, by the way. You're right, by the way, Heath. Robinson had four more catches. So it's a bye week for Tyrell. Then it's at Houston. And they're, you know, I know Robinson just had a good game, but they have been very good against receivers. And then, oh my gosh, weeks 13 through 16, Tampa Bay at Carolina, Oakland at Cleveland. What a schedule for Tyrell Williams. Very excited about him. Tight ends, Delanie Walker 1, Cameron Brate 2, and then Vernon Davis, Antonio Gates, and Kyle Rudolph tied for third with 12 fantasy points. Cameron Brate, Heath, 74% owned, a touchdown in three straight games with 5, 6, and 7 targets. Got Kansas City and Seattle the next two games. Is he actually droppable?
And now you've written about everything or talked about everything about this morning. No, I don't think he's droppable. I think he'll be okay against Seattle. They haven't been great against tight ends, and Tampa Bay doesn't have anybody else to throw the ball to besides Mike Evans. Jameis Winston likes throwing the ball to his tight end. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City game's not great, but I'm going to have a hard time dropping him, especially if I'm going to the playoffs when I know he gets the Saints twice in the fantasy playoffs.
That's a good point. All right, I'll just go through the news and notes quickly because they're boring. Minnesota left tackle Jake Long likely out for the season with an Achilles injury, so that offensive line goes from bad to worse. Minnesota linebacker Eric Kendricks left with a hip injury, and Xavier Rhodes left with a concussion, so that could make the outlook better for the Cardinals. We'll check on those injuries. We hope they get back, though. Kendricks and Rhodes, that is. Kyle Long, the Bears offensive guard, Kyle Long carted off with a pretty serious-looking leg or ankle injury. And also, they lost right tackle Bobby Massey with a concussion. Jordan Howard got hurt. Bears got beat up yesterday. Kansas City cornerback Phillip Gaines left with a neck injury. Nolan Carroll, Eagles cornerback, he left with a concussion in the first half. Chicago, another injury for them. Starting nose tackle Will Sutton left with an ankle injury. So that'll help Paul Perkins after he goes off tonight and takes the starting job next week against the Bears. And Tampa Bay was already on their backup center, and he left with a knee injury. So now they're on their third-string center, and Marquise Lee left with an ankle injury. Rest of season rankings, guys. Rank these players. Allen Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin. You know what? I put Tyrell Williams in there. This is very similar to what we just did. So I'll do a different guy. Allen Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin, Demaryius Thomas.
I want Heath to go first.
Allen Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin, Demaryius Thomas. I will go. I'll go Robinson, Thomas, Benjamin. But I think they're all right there in that 10 to 20 range of receivers.
I think that's probably right.
Rank them rest of the season. LeGarrette Blount, Mark Ingram, Carlos Hyde. I want Chris to go first.
Hyde, Blount, Ingram.
Yeah, I like that. Hyde, Blount, Ingram.
Interesting. I feel like Ingram has gotten the job back, though.
I mean, yeah, I would have to look at the snaps, but he did get more work.
He got a lot more snaps. I think he got about double the snaps.
I mean,
tell you.
Of course he did.
I don't look at
this whole thing was.
I don't look at his situation a whole lot differently than I do Ryan Matthews, though.
Not double, though. 43% for Ingram, 27% for Hightower.
I think both of them are on teams where I'm a little concerned for different reasons. Ingram might not get that many touches in a given game just because Breeze throws it 50 times.
Yeah.
And both of them are in situations where one fumble could get him right back on the bench.
Okay. Rank rest of season. Devontae Booker, Doug Martin, Matt Forte.
Martin, Forte, Booker.
Martin, Booker, Forte.
Okay. So Martin, number one.
I mean,
in that group.
Once again, we saw it with the Jets. It does not really matter how tough the matchup is for Matt Forte. All that matters is if the other team has the ability to blow them out. Because if the game stays anywhere or kind of close, they give him enough volume that he doesn't have to be good.
Yep. Very good point. And Forte, that was the best I had seen him look this year. 20 carries, 98 yards against the Rams. Looked really good. Finally, rank rest of season. DeAndre Hopkins, Aurelius Ben, Sherron Peak.
Peak Ben Hopkins.
All right, perfect. Let's go to the games. Start with one of the closest games, the real barn burner here. Ooh. Rams 9, Jets 6. What do you do with Brandon Marshall at this point?
He's probably in the DeAndre Hopkins range, right? Like, I don't know how you can feel comfortable starting him. It's not like Bryce Petty was ever going to be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick's been awful this season, but
we didn't know. Like, I hadn't ever seen anything out of Bryce Petty.
He was a third-string quarterback behind Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith. It took a Ryan Fitzpatrick injury for him to get on the field.
Yeah.
He's young, like, though. He's young.
Like, this is the same thing that I think about with, like, Jared Goff, where it's like, if you can't beat out the guy in front of you,
but not, like,
everyone can see as a disaster.
I don't think that if you're a rookie and you're playing behind a bad quarterback.
Bryce Petty's not a rookie.
No, but with Goff, sure. That necessarily means you're worse than the bad quarterback.
Okay.
And you will be forever. Because generally rookies get better.
Sure.
Young players.
But Chris is
better.
Talking about, you know, immediate impact on fantasy.
Yeah.
I think we all agree. Goff
we
is
We think
gonna get
it can't get worse. Well, it can.
If Petty's starting, well, they're on a bye, so it won't be Petty. It'll be Fitzpatrick. When they face New England, and Butler will probably shadow him. And you're probably sitting, I would guess. I don't know. I'd sit with Petty. Fitzpatrick, it's iffy.
It's hard to sit Marshall. It's hard to feel good about starting him. It's actually the same thing with Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Now, I got a lot of Gurley questions. I'm trying to think of a joke here. Gurley questions. You know, like what's a, I don't know.
Like, where do you want to eat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. Thank you, Chris. I couldn't finish the joke there.
Is that a Gurley question?
I told people sit Todd Gurley in most cases.
I'm ashamed.
I had no faith in Todd Gurley, but he did. There was some encouraging signs. You know, they're a little upbeat about Gurley because he had a good second half. He had 11 carries for 54 yards in the second half. I think I'm going to need to see a little bit more than that.
Can I just say that was one of the dumbest coaching decisions I've seen all season.
Why?
And on their first drive.
Benny
Cunningham gets them down to the 1 yard line. They have, I think Benny Cunningham, they run it with Benny Cunningham once. They throw a flare and then they tried to throw another pass. It's like, you have Todd Gurley. You're invested in him. Why isn't he on the field? Why aren't you using him?
I thought it was because of the injury, but then they used him a lot later in the game and it was dumb.
So he's got the 49ers next though, right?
No.
So it's,
no, he gets them in week 16.
Week 16. I'm sorry.
He's got the Dolphins next.
Okay, basically the same.
Yeah, and then at New Orleans. Dolphins been better lately.
No, they have been.
Okay. Dolphins, Saints. Yeah.
I know, and then at New England, home against Atlanta, at Seattle. But hopefully Todd Gurley can win you a league in week 16 against the Niners. Tennessee 47, Green Bay 25. What are your thoughts? Randall Cobb. I mean, Randall Cobb had a terrible game. He played 54% of the snaps. Adams and Nelson were about 95%. Like, what are your thoughts on the Packers wide receivers?
Well, I thought either Adams or Montgomery would take a step back because Cobb was coming back. Maybe both. Montgomery did, but it looks like Adams is back ahead of Cobb in the pecking order, or Cobb wasn't really fully healthy and they were just lying to us.
Could be. I think you got to be pretty encouraged if you're Devontae Adams. The guy seems like a total must start, right?
Yes.
Not if you're Devontae Adams, if you're Devontae Adams' owner.
I think he's going to be inconsistent. I think there's going to be him and Randall Cobb are going to kind of jockey for position moving forward, but I do think you feel very good about him right now.
It depends if they run the ball. I mean, if they keep throwing the ball 45 times a game.
I can't see how they can run the ball. Like, James Starks isn't a good running back.
No.
Like, that's the thing, is that it's hard for me to see.
He ran for almost 5 yards a carry.
Sure.
Seven carries. And the thing is, though, what he has done in the past is be good in the receiving game. Last year, Starks had 43 catches, 392 yards, and 3 touchdowns receiving. So he did it yesterday. He had a receiving touchdown. So I think maybe he can contribute there. And let's go to Kansas City 20 and Carolina 17. Now, you look at this game. Time of possession was a big deal here. Carolina had the ball for 10 more minutes than Kansas City. So you didn't get good numbers from Spencer Ware. When you look at Spencer Ware, when you look at Tyreek Hill, do you have anything to say about these guys?
Hill's ownership needs to go way up. 13 targets in Macklin's absence and one of the best games the Chiefs have had out of a receiver yet. He's still the type of player that I don't generally believe in being a consistent fantasy performer.
Yeah.
But he needs to be owned, and the Chiefs had absolutely no business winning this game.
And the big thing,
flukiest win of the year.
The big thing with Tyreek Hill is I don't feel comfortable in a player like him when he's getting 3 targets a game.
Right.
Like, even when he's producing, which he was for the last 5 or 6 games. But that big play potential combined with, you know, not 13 targets, but maybe 7 or 8 every week makes a big difference.
But is he even going to get that if Macklin plays? Because he hadn't been getting 7 or 8, had he?
Tyreek Hill? He had not at all.
He did the week before.
Macklin didn't play the week before.
Yeah.
I think that's key, but I'm sure his ownership percentage will go up. Tyreek Hill was owned in 24% of leagues. Were you satisfied with Cam Newton?
Not really.
Yeah,
it was good to see him running the ball.
I mean, the next 2 weeks, he ought to be one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football.
Yep.
The whole rest of the season for him is good except for at Seattle. But,
yeah.
You know, when Cam is right, he went to Seattle last year. They won that game. That was a huge statement game, and I'm pretty sure he was awesome. It was good to see him running a lot, but something's amiss in this offense. And
yep.
2 bad games in a row for Jonathan Stewart. So, you know, Stewart to me is a lot like LeGarrette Blount, right? So weeks 7 and 8, Jonathan Stewart had 4 touchdowns. They were all like 3 yards out or closer, something like that. Since then, yards haven't been there. Production's been terrible. That's what
I'm
a little
worried
about.
He's another player in that hard to sit, hard to start range.
Yeah. But at least you got a better offense for LeGarrette Blount. Philadelphia 24, Atlanta 15. Yeah, we'll get next time Philadelphia has a home game. I think they host the Packers. In 2 weeks. So we'll see how we feel about Aaron Rodgers. But they are unbelievable at home. The Eagles had the ball for 38 minutes and 10 seconds. The Falcons for 21:50. What about Devontae Freeman, guys? He has really been struggling for about 5 weeks now.
It's hard for me to be too concerned about him. Like, I don't think he's this great running back. But his role in the offense, his touches, his role in the receiving game, even though he only ran for 49 yards, he added 33 or 32 on 3 receptions. It's just, he's a number one running back almost by default.
You do have Coleman coming back, hopefully this week. And I will point out with Freeman, they've had a brutal schedule, at least for him. At Seattle, San Diego, Green Bay, at Tampa Bay, at Philadelphia. They face some good run defenses. Mohamed Sanu was a major disappointment. Would you drop Mohamed Sanu if there were anybody on the waiver wire you wanted to pick up? Do you think Sanu is expendable?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I feel a little better about Atlanta's offense when they're not forcing the ball to Julio Jones. And he also left like 4 or 5 points on the field yesterday. It could have been an even bigger game.
He had a crucial drop. Crucial.
He had a couple of big drops late in that game, which when you get 16 targets, that's going to happen sometimes. It's not a criticism of him.
Yeah, well, Beckham's better. So Denver 25. Denver 25, New Orleans 23. And you know the fate for Drew Brees. Denver had the ball for 2/3 of this game. Time of possession was crazy yesterday. But the fate of Drew Brees really changed with that touchdown pass to Brandon Cooks. He ended up with 26 points. He probably got 8 points on that play alone. Maybe 7. And I don't know. What do you guys want to touch on here? You want to talk about Devontae Booker? Emmanuel Sanders? Is he droppable? Like, go for it.
I want to see if Michael Thomas sees a drop in targets or playing time next week, because they benched Mark Ingram for fumbles. Thomas lost 2 fumbles in this game. I think it was a little like the Drew Brees finish and the Ben Roethlisberger finish both Like, their fortunes changed a lot.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, but Roethlisberger scored 35 points. Breeze scored 26.
Right, but with the two-minute warning, Dallas had the ball. Roethlisberger had 260 passing yards and two touchdowns. He threw 140 yards and a touchdown pass after the two-minute warning.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's Dear fun. God.
Yes.
Wow.
Because Elliott ran that in. They drove the length of the field and
That's
kinda scored.
That's kind of what he does.
Elliott goes in again, and that last pass to Antonio Brown went for like 60 yards.
There's been a lot of Ben Roethlisberger games like that over the last few years.
Yeah, he had 140 yards. Maybe it was 130, but like 130, 140 yards in the last 2 minutes.
Are you confident in Devontae Booker going forward? I think he's got a bye this week, and Bibbs was not much of a factor, which is good,
no.
but he didn't do much. 24 carries, 76 yards.
No,
I'm not confident at all. I thought this would be the one game he'd be good, and then you could sell him.
Yeah, he's a low-end starting running back.
The idea
that he was better than C.J. Anderson, I think, looks pretty wrong. He might be eventually, but right now he's not.
Yeah.
I think that it's, you know, Kubiak. This made me feel better about C.J. Anderson, honestly, because Kubiak is such a good track record with running backs. Their offensive line must be doing a horrible job this year. Nobody has been able to, with all the opportunities, nobody's been able to really do that well. And
sure.
It made me feel less crazy for liking C.J. Anderson as much as I
yeah.
did.
Houston, I mean, it's a good situation.
Houston 24 and Jacksonville 21. You know, honestly, Chris, I'm not saying this to needle you. I thought that we were going to owe you an apology. I thought that you were right with your Chris Ivory take when you called him a winner last week. And we. I really did, and everybody got me believing that Ivory was going to have a good game this week. They stink.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what Paul Perkins does tonight.
and Blake.
We saw what Kenneth Dixon did on Thursday.
Blake Bortles, 21 fantasy points. Is he just? I can't believe it. 3 weeks in a row, he's been good now.
Well, for fantasy.
For fantasy,
yeah. I mean, you're starting him more often than not.
Well, as long as they're going to be trailing, which they're typically going to be. Okay, let's go to Tampa Bay 36 and Chicago 10. Huge bust, Jay Cutler. He played horribly. Horribly. But you got to be pretty pumped about Jordan Howard if he's healthy.
To think he is.
Alshon Jeffrey, Heath, I know you love Alshon Jeffrey. 4 catches, 47 yards.
I'm backing off just a little bit. I didn't think that there was any way that Jay Cutler could be as bad as he was against a defense like this. I expected Alshon to return to top 10 or at least top 12 wide receiver status starting this week and for the rest of the year. And now I still like him more than I like Hopkins. I still like him more than I like Brandon Marshall. But I would view him as more of a solid number 2 guy.
Tyrell Williams or Alshon Jeffrey rest of the season?
Ooh, Tyrell's got the great schedule. I have not
you
looked.
You gotta call Tyrell?
I haven't looked at the Bears' schedule.
At the Giants, Tennessee, San Francisco, at Detroit, Green Bay,
yeah.
Washington, at Minnesota. That is good. Maybe not next week at the Giants, but that is
and
a
it,
good schedule.
I'll go Alshon.
It gets a little tough towards the championship game, though.
Yeah, you could
at
get
Washington,
Josh Norman.
Minnesota,
Yeah, you could.
Well, Minnesota's 17, though, right?
Yeah, Minnesota's 17.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alshon.
If you play in a week 17 and Alshon Jeffrey's got potentially Josh Norman in week 16 and Minnesota in week 17, you need to consider that. Speaking of those two guys, Minnesota at Washington. Let's see. Fat Rob got all the carries. That was good. Oh, Stephon Diggs. I wanted to talk about Stephon Diggs. I think you could really make a case that he's been good when he's been healthy this year. Almost every game. And he throws to two guys. Bradford throws to Diggs and Rudolph. Diggs is a PPR stud right now, man. Two straight games with 13 catches. What do you think?
He's Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, maybe.
He's
with a few more targets.
Stephon Diggs is really good.
He's Jarvis Landry on a team that cannot run the ball at all.
Yeah, that running back situation is going to be. Shouldn't we just pull the plug? Like people have to start them. Every week.
Yes.
Pull the plug. Like, what do you want to do?
Like, not talk about them ever again. Just stop caring about Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata. Like, if you have to start Jerick McKinnon or Matt Asiata, things are going to go poorly for you.
Asiata.
Yeah, what about Asiata?
Asiata.
We've got four. I think we have four now different pronunciations of his last name in the office.
Well, what else we got?
Well, we've got the Asiata. We've got Asiata.
Yeah.
Nick Costa says Asiata. Maybe there's just three.
Asiata, maybe?
There's no Asiata.
Asiata. Yeah. Doesn't work.
Either way.
Never say his name again. Keep his name off your lips.
Right? Let's just skip pronouncing his name and never talk about it. I mean, it's a mess.
Huge disappointment from Jordan Reed, and I blame Vernon Davis.
Yeah, that was strange. Yeah. We'll talk about Pierre Garçon tomorrow. San Francisco at Arizona. I mean, Carlos Hyde, 13 carries for 14 yards. Are we sure we feel good about him going forward?
Yeah, this is just a bad matchup.
He's not going to play Arizona coming off a bye or coming off an injury every week. I feel pretty good about Carlos Hyde.
Okay. Now, Kaepernick had 25 fantasy points. He will be talked about tomorrow extensively.
He's been good.
He threw the ball better than he has yet this year in that game.
He's averaging 22 fantasy points per game as a starter.
Yep. This was surprising. And Carson Palmer scored 16 fantasy points, but this is three straight games with 342 or more passing yards. Can we use the touchdown regression term for Carson Palmer?
That's what I want to know, because Chris talked about Carson Palmer not being good.
To a certain extent, he's at 3.3% so far this season. To a certain extent, there is probably touchdown regression for Carson Palmer coming. On the other hand, he was, what, 5.8% last year or 7%? Like, he's not going to be that. He's just not as good as he was last year either.
Okay. Miami at San Diego.
Real quick. Don't gloss over 12 for 133 from Larry, please.
Yeah, it was a
good PPR stud, man.
PPR That's a pretty stud. Good game in standard, too.
Yeah, that was. But he typically hasn't been very good in standard.
It was against the 49ers.
It was against the 49ers. Let's see. So anything from Miami, San Diego here?
Don't add Damian Williams. There's nothing there.
Unless you have Ajayi.
Sure.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm not sure he would get much work as a running back. I think he's the pass catcher for them.
Scored two touchdowns yesterday. Robbed Jay Ajayi of one. Dallas 35 and Pittsburgh 30. Any reason you think Ladarius Green, you think his role will increase?
I would expect that he's going to play more than he did in his very first game of the season. Yeah. I think his role, I wouldn't. Like, I put him down as a waiver wire guy, and I think he belongs in consideration, but I'd rather have somebody like Cameron Brate if he's still available in your league.
Yeah. Or Zach Ertz, who's still under 70% owned.
Yes.
All right, you've got Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, AJ Green, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham. Unless I'm forgetting someone, that's your top five right there. Is Dez Bryant a candidate for sixth?
He can be in the discussion.
He's a candidate. I don't think he's a very strong candidate.
I wonder who the sixth best wide receiver this year is. Let's take a look. It's
Brandon Evans.
Oh, Jordy Nelson is fourth.
Brandon Cooks is sixth.
Brandon Cooks is sixth. So Beckham is not.
Beckham only 11.
Is like 12th. But he's got to play tonight. Oh, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, I think, is someone we're going to like there. T.Y. Yeah. Hilton. Dez will be in the discussion.
There's a clear drop off there, though.
Okay, and Seattle 31, New England 24. I think we pretty much talked about this game. Julian Edelman had a nice game, season high in yards with 99, averaged 14 yards per catch. He had averaged 7 yards per catch over his previous 4 games. So are you encouraged by Edelman? You feel good starting him going forward?
Yeah, in PPR for sure, as a number 2.
Yeah, he's going to be a number 2 in PPR and a flex in standard. That's really about it. I don't feel good about it.
He'll fall into the end zone.
I don't know in a standard league if I'm going to start him over Brandon Marshall or not.
Well, it'll depend on matchup, I guess. Next week they're at San Francisco. That's good.
I did look at the stats and verify. Ben Roethlisberger, final 155 of that game. 7 for 7, 140 yards, 1 touchdown.
Amazing. Amazing. And Jamie moved him up to number 2. Jamie had talked about moving him up to number 2.
He did. He moved him up to number 2.
And that's where he is right now. He's number 2.
Yep.
He'll be number 3 after Eli Manning tonight, I think. So,
Andy Dalton.
He'll be just off. That's it, guys. Looking forward to the game tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll talk about the waiver wire. And for Heath and Chris, I'm Adam. See you later.
See ya. Bye, Adam.